What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, July 30th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee.
Oh, what's good, Greg? Hey, thanks, Kevin.
I like this shirt a lot.
Thank you.
I don't know. I'm sure you're too busy to notice it as well. It dawns on me about time when I walk in here that I've never actually, I don't actually look at you. Because you come in and you sit down and I'm putting it and I'll turn and I'm like, oh, hey, what's up? And we have a conversation. But I never take in the outfit till we're about to go on. And that's when it. And even then, I was trying to figure out how to work it into my intro. And what threw me is you're still playing the Lego Tower game, Andrea.
I am. It's
Andrea,
true.
Now it's getting to be, now I'm getting worried.
So I tweeted this morning that when I opened up my phone, I had 245 people in my elevator queue waiting to come visit my tower.
I saw that, but as somebody who glazes over sometimes when you talk about this game, I'm not 100%. Does that mean you have 240 what's good guardians and best friends who want to come visit you?
Yes.
Okay.
So I didn't realize that so many people were coming to visit my tower, and unfortunately, I can't go revisit all these people because the idea of having friends in Lego Tower is that they visit you and they'll tip you $10,
okay.
And then you go visit them and you'll tip them $10, and
okay.
Then you can earn bucks, which are the in-game currency, for free just by visiting your friend's tower.
Sure.
But the problem is, I don't know what kind of elevator situation these people have going on. And if these people can't be bothered to upgrade their elevators, then I'm wasting precious time visiting people who have like 20 levels and haven't upgraded their elevator once.
Oh, man, this is a big problem for you. I totally understand
this. So I have to just clean them out. I can't go visit people right now. Maybe
I haven't gone big and given out my Pokemon Go code. Because I just can't handle that much responsibility of having that many friends. You know what I mean? Because I got the gift services going on. And even on the subreddit, somebody very funny, I forget who, very funnily put up a thing where I let him in as a Pokemon Go friend. And then over the weekend, I cleaned out people. Belinda, or, you know, somebody I've met in real life or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you know what? This is already getting too much. And I'm too obsessive about my gifts. I'll tell you what. Pokemon Go, giving out the gifts and getting the gifts, my favorite part of the game.
Yeah.
I like catching the Pokemon, sure. Hate evolving them. Hate having to pay attention to the, you know.
Do you like grinding them up?
Rock, paper, scissors. I'm sorry, what was that?
Do you like grinding them up?
Oh, you know that.
Yeah.
I love nothing more than making them into candy and force feeding the candy to the other versions of them that I have. That's awesome. You know what I mean? I love a good torture scene. But the gifts is what it's about.
Why is this video up on screen?
Because Kevin is a man of his word. Where right
also,
before we went live, I talked about how this, I saw on Reddit this lion attack this dude during a circus thing.
Oh my God. There's so many of them now.
And
he's
Kevin was
guy.
Like, I'll look into it. And
he's
then he's like, I'm going to pull it up while you guys talk. And sure enough, he's just playing
that's,
the clip.
Yeah, that's horrifying.
Well,
that's
terrifying.
Also, why are they in a cage with like 7 lions?
Oh, because, you know, this is how they do their little hey, lion,
seems,
jump on a box.
Look at him. He's fine.
Yeah,
he's
that's like, what I'm saying, though, right? It's like his sleeve.
I don't know if I'd call that fine.
His sleeve
oh my
is torn
God,
up.
He's like fighting it. See,
also,
is,
why are they still in this cage with these
oh,
lions?
Oh, no. They're trying to make their way to the door, and the lions are cutting them off, being like, you know what? We've had enough of this.
Oh my God!
And they're just spraying water on them.
They've got their little cattle prods. See, that's whips or whatever that is. It was this man who's trying to get out now, and this woman there.
But like they see again. They
now
see
look at the lions. They're like, this is my favorite thing about big cats that decide they want to kill people. Is that they're not like, I'm just going to kill people. I'm going to kill a very specific person.
Yeah.
Right? They're going after that guy. Like, they don't even care about the other woman. They're like, listen, Janet, we've always been cool. All right? But Ted today crossed the fucking line, and I'm going to get him.
Oh, my God. That's very accurate.
Do you remember?
This
now,
the San Francisco,
now we're not even joking. Yeah, the San Francisco Zoo one, Christmas Day.
Kept throwing rocks at the
kids were leaning over the thing. They threw rocks down at the lions, right? Or tigers? It was lions.
Tiger.
And the tiger was finally like, you know what? And jumped up, got out. And didn't even chase, did like a Terminator slow walk, saw other people, didn't fuck with other people, was literally like, I'm gonna find these kids. And then he found those kids and it didn't end well. But that's enough of that. It's time to talk about Outer Worlds coming to Switch, the PlayStation 4 hitting 1 million units shipped and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can give us your questions, comments, concerns, everything under the video game sun. Then you can tune in to watch us record the show live. twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping. Today we're brought to you by Patreon producers Colton Yoder, Blackjack, and Mohammed Mohammed. Today, we're also brought to you by the sponsors, Third Love and Upstart, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! I already got it wrong, and I know it. I'm sorry. 5 items on the Roper Report.
Oh, Bakers! Doesn't that guy died? The Tiger guy.
He did?
Yeah.
The guy in the cage right there?
No. The tiger guy from San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember that. Yeah, that was big news. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was not a good Christmas Day story.
And then the poor tiger is probably the one who got blamed.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, he got killed as well.
Did they kill the tiger?
Oh, yeah. They killed him. I think that was the thing.
The problem is once they get a taste for the human blood.
And then he was just out. He's just chilling outside. I'm like, Lord of Pwn points out that I already screwed up by saying that it was they didn't sell through the. They shipped them. They've shipped a million. Shut up, Lord. We're gonna get there. Number one on the Roper Report: The Outer Worlds is coming to the Nintendo Switch. This is an official release that reads: Private Division and Obsidian Entertainment today announced that The Outer Worlds will be released on Nintendo Switch following the launch of other platforms. It's a partnership with Virtuos. The Outer Worlds is a new single-player, first-person sci-fi RPG from Obsidian Entertainment and Private Division. Lost in transit while on a colonist ship bound for the furthest edge of the galaxy, you awake decades later only to find yourself in the midst of a deep conspiracy threatening to destroy the Halcyon colony.
Halcyon.
As you explore the furthest reaches of space and encounter various factions, all vying for power, the character you decide to become will determine how this player-driven story unfolds. In the corporate equation for the colony, you are the unplanned variable. The Outer Worlds will be released on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC via the Microsoft Windows Store and Epic Game Store on October 25th, 2019. Following the release on these platforms, The Outer Worlds will also come to Nintendo Switch. No release date has been announced at this time. Unexpected, exciting news, Andrew.
Yeah, this is great.
You and I both are very excited for The Outer Worlds.
Absolutely. And I have a cool little announcement that I got to play The Outer Worlds at a special event, and that coverage is going live later this week.
Ooh.
So if you guys have questions for KFGD on Thursday about my time with The Outer Worlds, you can send those in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. We have a special mini episode of What's Good Games that we recorded with devs from Obsidian Entertainment. And we have our hands-on impressions in What's Good, because all three of us got to play on Friday's episode.
Wow. Where can I get that?
At whatsgoodgames.com, at podcast services, wherever you download Kind of Funny Games daily. Or if you want to see the gameplay that I captioned for both my playthrough and Steimer's playthrough, you can go to youtube.com/kindoffunny. It's not going to be there. It's going to be at What's Good Games.
Okay, cool.
So our YouTube channel. Yeah.
Seems like you're doing a blowout for it. Game must have sucked then,
the game must suck. Well, I told you it was our game of show.
For real. No, and that's the thing. I mean, to even get away from the preview stuff, like everything I've seen of it, I'm so in for. Of course, this is the people who made Fallout New Vegas, right? The original South Park RPG there. I can't wait to get into and play more of it and really go. That's why it's exciting it's coming to Switch, but also depressing that it's coming to Switch after the fact, no release date.
Yeah, and I am holding out a little bit of hope that they might enable cross progression or cross save. Maybe. That would be really cool.
You would need an obsidian.net account or something like that.
I'll
and I don't
buy
think
that
that's
game twice, full price, if I can bring my save between systems.
You will not, but let's get Gage involved with the conversation. Or should I call him Luke Shot First in the chat? He writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames just like you can. It says, Nintendo just announced that The Outer Worlds from Obsidian will be coming to the Nintendo Switch following its release on other consoles. Obsidian, in their announcement, said they're partnering with Virtuos Studios. How do I say it? I'm not saying it right. Virtuos Games, who have also ported Starlink, Battle for Atlas, as well as done art assets for games like Final Fantasy, XIV, Shadowbringers, and more. Coming out of E3 this year, The Outer Worlds is one of my most anticipated games. The Fallout 3 / Elder Scrolls style RPG games are some of my favorites of all time. So everything in me wants to be through the roof with excitement about this. However, do you think this port will greatly diminish the experience of this game? With a world as immersive as this, it's hard not to want the best experience, parentheses like on my Xbox One X. But goddamn, to play this on my Switch would be a dream come true as long as it's not a hot piece of trash. Thoughts?
Well, I can only speak to what we saw at E3,
because
everything else is still under embargo. But if you compare this type of experience to what has already come to Switch, most notably The Witcher 3 and The Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim, right, are, I think, comparable titles, sure, right? Then I think though, if those games are going to, you know, can function on the Switch, I don't see why this game couldn't. Because if you look at the art style from all of the trailers they've released so far.
Kev, throw up a trailer. The Outer Worlds, please. Okay.
Yeah, so they released this great new trailer at the Xbox conference at E3 this year. And if you look at that art style, I think it's got a really unique design, but it doesn't look particularly graphic intensive. But then again, I don't know what the back end of that game looks like.
Yeah, that's the biggest question about it is I hope that, yeah, it's going to look awesome. Can you actually go to just, this is the announcement. There's no gameplay here. I'm just telling you. Well, then why'd you do it wrong? You know what I mean?
Hold on.
Right there, Outer Worlds gameplay trailer, GameSpot. Just click on that. That is a demo with Max Scoville. That's not going to help you.
We don't want that
trailer, T-R-A-I-L-E-R.
Where is it?
It's right above it, you idiot! That's 20 minutes below it!
Kevin's just fucking with
you. That's the one I clicked!
I know.
No, one more down, Kevin.
No, he's fucking with you. Don't bite. Don't bite. Don't give in.
Greg, I couldn't remember what this game was, and I wanted to ask you. I was like, Greg, describe it in one word. And I was so curious to see what you would have done.
RPG.
Oh, no. That's not for me.
I can't wait. Yeah. Where it's going to hit is performance, right? Where it's going to lose something is graphical fidelity, you assume. And, you know, I'm still, you bring up Skyrim, right? And you bring Witcher.
Mm-hmm.
Skyrim, it seemed like people were happy with. I downloaded it, but never actually turned it on and went into it. Now, granted, Skyrim, of course, had a PS3 version, an Xbox 360 version that should be easy to run on the Switch. Witcher, of course, a big question mark still, right? I can't wait for that one to come out and see what that looks like and what sacrifices they did make there.
Exactly.
Because they've already talked a little bit. Yeah, it's going to be, you know, less than when it comes to graphics. Oh. I forget. So
I'm looking it up
when
right
you
now.
Get in here, like even right now what we're seeing on screen, I mean, this looks like what Fallout New Vegas would look like, I would imagine, running on the Xbox One X or the PlayStation 4. I think you're just going to lose quality there. And for me, the biggest thing is not even...
It just says 2019 from what I've seen.
For Outer Worlds... And where I want to play it, like, I feel like it's going to run fine on Switch. I think you're going to lose some of the graphical quality of it. I don't think it would matter. It's the same thing where I'm super excited for The Witcher 3 to come to Switch because I want... This is my dream, right? I love the more Western RPGs, right? I like the open world Western RPGs where we're going to go out there and we're going to have dialogue choices and this, that, and the other, and third-person combat if you want it to be your first-person combat, but basically not turn-based combat. That's my jam. And I always wanted a Fallout for the Vita. I always wanted a Fallout for the Switch. So to get Outer Worlds there is super exciting. I wonder how long the gap's going to be. And then also, you talk about cross-save, right, and progression. I don't know how much that's going to matter to me because what they've always said with Outer Worlds, right, is the idea that, hey, we're building an RPG that isn't 400 hours. What did they say, 20 or 30, I think?
No, from my understanding, the conversations I've had with the teams so far, I thought I was under the impression it was closer to 50 to 60, but still, that's a lot more manageable than like your 200 plus hours. Yeah, The Witcher or Skyrim.
And like The Witcher gets exciting for me. Like, I dropped off after, 25 hours on PlayStation? So that if I have it on Switch now and I can just tinker with it whenever I want to, I'll probably still never see the end of it, but it'll be there when I want it. And so this one, if it's a shorter RPG, but it's still awesome. And again, from what I've seen of it, the different choices you make, the way they play out, what they're great at Obsidian is a gray area where it's not like here's the good choice, here's the bad choice, here's the Paragon choice, here's the Renegade choice. It is make these decisions and see what happens. Playing through on one time on PlayStation 4, having a great time, and then months later the Switch drops and playing that on planes, I think I could have fun with that.
So the lead developers, Leonard Boyarsky and Tim Kaine, talked to PlayStationLifestyle.net and said 15 to 40 hours of playtime was a fair assumption.
Okay. Yeah, Ill Grill Chill and You're Wrong says, during a PC Gamer interview, it was stated the game The Outer Worlds would be between 30 and 40. So basically, guess what? Nobody knows. They're making it up as they go along.
Yeah, so it sounds like it can be, you know, Golden incredibly path, short right if you want to skip all the side stuff. But like, who plays an RPG to skip all of the side content?
That's not what it's about. Exactly. That's not what it's about. That's what killed me in The Witcher. Well, there's the main quest, but there's a bunch of question marks. I'll knock those out. Oh, my God, it made more question marks. Knock those out. Oh, my God, there's more question marks. Never got out of Act 1. Too much to do.
Yeah.
You know? So what is your... obviously, you're going to play this at release.
Yes.
You're going to play it in October.
Correct.
You think you'll play it on Switch again, too?
Probably. I mean, it really depends on when the release date is and what else is coming out around that time. I like the idea that even if, you know, my pipe dream of cross progression is not going to be fully realized, which, let's be honest, is probably not. I think that what's cool about it from, you know, what we got to see at E3 is that there's definitely going to be a lot of different ways to play the game based off the choices that you make in the narrative trees, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I could potentially pick a specific play style and attributes and perks, etc., on my, you know, PS4 version, and then I could play a completely different yep. way and make different choices and go down different branches on my Switch version.
Yeah, and I think that's what will be the benefit of it. I hope it's not too big of a gap. But then I guess I kind of hope it is, so I actually get through it on PlayStation and then have another reason to play on Switch. But we shall see.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of PlayStation, Gregway, number two, PlayStation 4 numbers are out. This is Daniel Ahmad over at ZHUGX. You know, Daniel, we bring him up all the time, analyst. He had some numbers out of the financials here from PlayStation. Sony has shipped 100 million PlayStation 4s as of June 30th, 2019. This makes PlayStation 4 the fastest home console to reach 100 million units sell-in, faster than both the PlayStation 2 and Wii, which were just behind. It took PS2 a total of 5 years and 9 months. PS4 was just 5 years and 7 months. Sony expects PlayStation 4 to reach 111.8 million as of March 31st, 2020. Wow, Andrea. Looks
impressive.
Like John Drake made a bad move leaving PlayStation, huh? This Disney thing's going nowhere.
Disney's not too shabby of a company.
We'll see what happens.
But this is excellent news for PlayStation. Clearly, the portfolio that they had across the lifetime of this console has pushed it to this wild number of units sold. Obviously, you and I are both fans.
Yeah.
So
good for you, PlayStation.
Yeah.
Kebabs Congrats. Writes in with a question to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, today the PlayStation 4 hit 100 million units sold globally. And again, I'm sure Lord Pone will jump in here to say it's shipped, not sold. I hate this. It's confusing. This, once again, begs the question, quote, can it top the PS2's 155 million? The answer thus far has usually been no, but the wrinkle to this is that it has hit the target faster than the PlayStation 2 has, meaning the 100 million shipped, which you just talked about. I think it may be possible. With what factors do you think the PlayStation 4 needs to surpass the PlayStation 2? What will limit it? For me, it all hinges on post-PlayStation 5 support and sales. Is it going to break 155 million?
I don't think so. I think the reason why, and we've talked about this a couple of times on the show, is that the PlayStation 2 was in a very different spot where it sat in the larger consumer electronics landscape versus where PlayStation 4 is today. And I think the PlayStation 5 being backwards compatible with PlayStation 4 games is going to encourage people to upgrade sooner than they maybe would have if it wasn't.
Yeah.
And maybe people who never got a PlayStation 4, who were always, you know, PC, Switch, or Xbox, might not be incentivized to buy a PlayStation 4 if they can play PS4 games on their PS5. Not to mention we have other people in the mix like Stadia coming into play and other streaming services. Mobile gaming today is a gigantic section of the market, which did not exist exactly during the PS2 era, right? So
yeah.
I think for a lot of those reasons, you know, PS4 is never going to top the PS2's numbers. I don't know if any system, besides mobile, of course, which I think is in its own bucket, is going to be able to ever top. I don't think another console will ever dethrone the PS2.
As everyone knows, I'm a moron when it comes to numbers, and so I'm bad at this part of the game. I find it hard to believe, for all the reasons you just listed, PlayStation 4 could hit PlayStation 2. And I think the big you nailed it on the head, right? That I remembered, like, PlayStation 2 launched, and it was such a big deal that it was an affordable DVD player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's something we all look past now, but it was such a big deal that was an affordable DVD player, to the point that once they launched the PlayStation 3, right, they're still selling the incredibly slim PlayStation 2 just for $100 that people are just picking up to be DVD players in the kids' room or in their car or whatever. I feel like you're not going to see that functionality, or at least that fan base for the PlayStation 4 in the same way, because I'm with you that I think PlayStation 5 is going to be backwards compatible with the PS4, and we're back to just talking about, like, these like half steps, right? Like the new models in the same way PlayStation 4 Pro is a big reason I think you see these numbers be so astronomical is the fact that so many people bought in on PlayStation 4. It was already a bona fide success. And then it was, now there's a version to get even more out of it. And so many people doubled down and bought again, which you don't usually have a reason to unless your console breaks, right? Or you want a slimmer form factor, but form factor.
Or you just want a new prettier one.
Also true, right? Like that Hannah Montana PSP. God, was it beautiful.
What is wrong with you?
It was a great PSP. It was purple. It was great. You would have loved it, Andrea, back in the day. Loved it back in the day, but now we know with what's good being purple. Anyways, yeah, I don't think PlayStation 4 is going to have those kind of post-PlayStation 5 legs. I think that once PlayStation 5 comes around, it's like, well, yeah, we could buy a PS4, and I'm sure it's going to be a few hundred dollars cheaper, $100 cheaper, somewhere in that range, depending on what PlayStation 5 is, depending on what they want to sell the slim non-pro versions for. But it's still going to be, well, if we're in that ballpark, why not go to the next thing, right? Like, you want the high-definition graphics. You want it to be 5K, checkerboard, whatever the hell, that weird sound everybody's talking about. I don't fucking understand any of it. But I just feel like you're going to be right there, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. And so I think that it's really cool that they've been able to hit this mark at all, given the global competition and the games market at large. And I think it's awesome. So congrats to them. I think the only other console right now that maybe has a chance at like matching this is the Switch.
Speaking of, Gregway, number three, let's talk some Switch numbers. We're going to start with Steve Watts at GameSpot. Nintendo has issued its earnings statements for the quarter ending June 30, and once again, we have updated sales data on Switch hardware and its top games. The console/handheld hybrid is nearing 37 million lifetime units sold, and Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is gaining ground on the software charts. The Nintendo Switch has reached 36.87 million units sold, with software topping 210 million units. The ranking of the highest selling software has remained the same relative to each other from the March sales figures, but strong sales of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate suggests it may be overtaking Super Mario Odyssey for the second place spot soon. If you're wondering, those spots look like this. Number one is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe with 17.89 million units. Number two, Super Mario Odyssey with 14.94 million units. Number three, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate with 14.73 million units. IGN has this chime in that's interesting. Perhaps most impressive is the news that Super Mario Maker 2, which was released on June 28, 2019, has sold 2.42 million units in the 3 days before the quarter came to a close. Super Mario Maker 2 was also the top-selling game in June, beating out Crash Team Racing, Nitro Fueled, and Mortal Kombat 11. So there you go.
Yeah, especially with Evo right around the corner. It's this weekend, I believe, in fact. I think that Smash is going to get a nice little influx of players, and they've done a pretty decent job at communicating about their DLC plans, whereas with a game like Super Mario Odyssey, it was like it was out and then it's done.
Yeah, exactly, right. And yeah, they should have done more. Whatever happened to the Luigi's Mansion world, huh? Where are all the worlds we're supposed to get?
They're just making a full Luigi's Mansion.
Wasn't there some DLC for...
Yeah, some balloon garbage. Some balloon garbage. Nobody wanted it.
This is a good kind of funny.com/wrong moment for us. But, I mean...
It wasn't what we wanted.
They were never going to... What?
Nothing. I'm saying it wasn't what we wanted, the DLC.
No, they were never going to support Odyssey the way that they're supporting Smash.
Oh, of course. God, no. I'm just going to drop this in. It could have been a news item on its own, but I put it in as out today, I think.
Okay.
Hero from Dragon Quest series joins Super Smash Bros. Ultimate today. There was that Nintendo Direct today. I'm sure all these nerds like Tim were all like, oh my God, up B button's really cool. And there you go. Hero's out there. You can go play him. You know what I mean, Kev?
Yeah, these side Bs.
Ooh. Oh, I love my side B. Number four. Fire Emblem voice actor has been dropped for abusive behavior. This is Brendan Sinclair at GamesIndustry.biz. Nintendo has confirmed that it will be replacing a Fire Emblem voice actor after he confirmed allegations of abusive behavior. Quote, after assessing the situation, we decided to re-record the character's voiceovers in Fire Emblem Three Houses and Fire Emblem Heroes with another actor, the company told GamesIndustry.biz over the weekend. The new voiceovers will be included in a future patch. The voice actor is Chris Niosi, who played the male version of customizable Fire Emblem Three Houses protagonist Blythe. Niosi has provided voice work for a number of games, including Dust in Elysian Tale and Octopath Traveler. His replacement has apparently already been found, and a new trailer for Fire Emblem Heroes credits Zach Aguilar as the voice of Blythe. Niosi's behavior became more widely known 2 weeks ago when an ex-girlfriend published a blog post detailing instances of emotionally manipulative and sexually abusive behavior. Others corroborated these accounts and added their own stories, until Niosi addressed the complaints himself, saying, quote, I have horribly mistreated and abused friends, colleagues, and even my significant others, in a post titled, It's Time That I Apologize to All the People I've Hurt. Good. As usual, don't be abusive to people. Don't be a bad person. Don't do that. That's bad.
Yep.
And if you're going to be a bad person, hopefully they come for you. And it's revealed you're a bad person. And everyone realizes I shouldn't be a bad person. Right, Kevin?
Yep. Totally true.
Anything else to add to this?
I think you summed it up
quite
nicely.
Be better to people. Be better to each other. Don't be emotionally abusive to somebody. Don't be sexually abusive. Don't be abusive, period. Can we say that? Can we just say that?
Yeah. Be good to people.
Be good to people, everybody. Number five. We have details on Fallout 76's first raid. This is from Alicia Judge over at IGN. Fallout 76 is continuing to beef up its live service gaming options with the introduction of its first four-player raid next month. Called Vault 94, the first raid can also be played solo, in pairs, or groups of three, but the difficulty will be much harder. Mayer went into further detail. I must have cut out the reference. Mayer from the Fallout team, whose first name escapes me. Actually, it happens when you enter the Vault 94. When you go in, you get to choose one of three different difficulty levels, he said. The first one is called Novice, and when you go in, it's still very difficult. Don't get me wrong, but it's probably a good way to get used to the vault and the puzzles and how to handle it. It's very puzzle-based. You have to figure out the right blend of balance between taking down mobs and opening doors and doing different things. The second two levels add a time pressure. There's internal time pressure from minute to minute, but this is a meta time pressure where you have to do the whole raid within a certain amount of time. A tweet from the official Fallout Twitter confirmed that Vault 94 will go live on August 20th. Are you going to go into it? You going to jump into that vault? Get in there?
It's been a hot minute since I've turned Fallout on.
Yeah.
So probably not, because in order to raid, you usually have to be at the top end of progression. And that is not where I am. So definitely not. I have way too much work to do in the Solstice event in Destiny.
Oh, my fucking God.
I still got to play Ultimate Alliance, Greg.
Yeah, you do have to play Ultimate Alliance. That's a huge problem. Yeah, yeah. Youngblood, I started with Jen. Mm-hmm. And it's enjoyable. It's the same thing we played before. But it was even that same thing. I'm just like, man, it's not Borderlands.
Yeah.
Kind of just ready for Borderlands at this point. I don't know if I need to do this right now.
We're getting close. We're like, what, 6 weeks away? Five weeks away?
And almost a month is what I keep saying.
Am I going to like Borderlands?
Yes.
Of course you are, Kevin. You're gonna love Borderlands.
This is exciting. I didn't know that.
Oh, totally. And you're not allowed to not play it. And the best thing is there's no way for you to fall behind. There's no division bullshit. The whole thing with I can play it with a level 99 character, you can play with level 9 character.
You get your own loot.
We're both
stream.
Getting our own loot and having a great time.
Awesome.
I blocked it out on the calendar today. I want to do a stream on lunch day.
Fantastic.
You're in.
I'm sure that's gonna work perfectly.
Why wouldn't it?
Because they always crash the launch stream.
Yeah, but it's Borderlands this time. They should have it pretty much, right?
But the online infrastructure in Borderlands is very different than a lot of the other games that incorporate a PvP system.
Yeah, but remember when I tried to stream with Fran and it was broken? Borderlands 1 when they did the re-release, the Game of the Year edition.
I'm bummed I can't be there with you guys. We'll I actually have to go to a wedding that weekend.
Cancel it. You know what I mean? Yeah, take it. Get a games case.
Oh, no, I have my game screen.
There you go.
Perfect. Greg and I were just talking about it before the show.
You don't got an excuse.
Put it up at the reception.
There it is.
Bring a Wi-Fi hotspot, your own little power cable, boom. You're all set to go. Boo, boo. That's the Wi-Fi noise going off.
Yeah, that's
I see what you're doing, Kev. I like where your head's at. Back to Fallout. This, I don't think, is going to get me back in, but in terms of it. But when they add the NPCs with the tasks and the branching stuff, I want to go in and try that again. Because, again, at E3, I turned it on after the Bethesda or the day of the Bethesda conference before we even knew about that stuff. And I was impressed with how it was running down all the different stuff. It's super confusing, and I hate that idea of, like, shit, should I restart a character? Should I, like, start this game again? Because I've taken so much time off.
No, don't start over.
I know, but it's that thing I jump in. I'm like, what was I doing? Where was I? What was happening? How do you do anything?
You would have to Fallout learn 76. That if you started from the beginning anyway. So might as well keep all the stuff you've already collected.
No, I'm with you. I didn't do it. Don't get me wrong. I ran a little Greggy around trying to figure it out.
If you want to start it over, let me know.
Why don't you just join me, you know?
Okay, so you don't want to start it over.
No, I don't. I said I don't.
All right, I'm retracting my statement.
Okay, good. Jeez, Kevin. God, why are we always yelling at each other?
It's fun.
Hate everybody. Andrew, I'm excited to see if Fallout does whatever with the NPCs and stuff, but that's so far away. If I wanted to know something more immediate, where would I go?
Greg, you would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, We Happy Few has added a new rock and roll DLC, Lightbearer. It's out now. Red Dead Online reports big rewards await all Red Dead Online players this week, with 50% more Red Dead Online money and XP across Elimination Series events, along with 30% more XP and, oh, I'm sorry, for any equipped ability card and a bonus treasure map for a 3-day daily challenge streak, one challenge per day. Also, now they have there's a Division care package available for all agents. Of course, you know episode 1 for the Division 2 is out, dropped last week. However, they added this in a press release today. In addition to the release of episode 1, and this part is new, a dedicated care package will automatically be granted to Division agents now until August 13th, preparing them to take the fight outside of DC. While playing the game, agents can redeem their package filled with 3 pieces of equipment by going to their mailbox in their stash. Have you done the DLC? You jump in that episode 1 yet?
No, I haven't. But I definitely want to go check it out. I haven't been back to the Division since the raid came out in May. So, yeah.
Here's the thing. Still a great game. Still fantastic. Gear score still 500. So it's just like, I went and did all the DLC and I ended it. And it's just like, well, I don't want to grind any of this. Because like, what? I'm just getting minimal damage increase. Like,
I thought that they were increasing that with one of the updates.
No. I mean, they will eventually, but they put it with the raid. They were like, we're not going beyond 500. And then this one didn't push it either.
So basically, I need to just wait until they raise the level cap, then go back.
Exactly.
Okay.
I mean, I love the game, and the game plays great. And if I really, I'm not at all, as you know, the guy who wants to grind out the build and get the best +2 damage. I just like playing it and having great shit. And so like right now, it's just like, okay, cool. Did all the story stuff, and I'll come back. I'll be back, and I'll do the raid. I don't want to do the raid on baby-ass baby mode that they put in there. I want to get the trophy for doing it on the real thing, but I want to be way overpowered when I come in. So
I'm with you.
Exactly. Hero from Dragon Quest is joining Super Smash Bros. Ultimate today. Forager is on PlayStation 4 and Switch. Morphe's Law is on PC. The Blackout Club, PS4, Xbox One, PC. Mutant Year Zero, Road to Eden is on Switch. Solo, Islands of the Heart is on PlayStation 4. Oxygen Not Included is on PC. Proquette? You want to say? Proquette?
Nailed it.
Pirouette. Pirouette, that's it. Mm-hmm. PC. Cricket 19 is on PC. Raiders of the North Sea is on PC and Mac. Corpse Killer 25th Anniversary is on PC. Merchant of the Skies is on PC and Mac. Tower Tales is on PC. And pre-orders for the Nintendo Switch Lite are up on Amazon right now. You can be like Gary Whitta and get it.
I will never pre-order anything from Amazon ever again.
Yeah, you got burned on, what was it?
My Super Nintendo Classic Edition.
Right.
Pre-ordered it, had a confirmation, all good to go, and then like, just like mere weeks before launch, they canceled my pre-order. And then by that time, all the pre-orders everywhere else were sold out.
Aren't they available like just at stores, like if you go to Target now?
Well, now, yeah, but you want it to thing, you know?
But like they weren't for many months. But like the whole idea of a pre-order is that you put money down to secure your order for when it comes out at launch.
Yeah, yeah. Amazon got fucked on that
one. And Amazon's just like, YOLO, we canceled your shit. Ha 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 ha.
That's rude.
I was very upset about it.
I don't think they should have done that.
Never again. Hashtag never again.
Was it Amazon's fault or was it Nintendo's fault?
Or was it Andrea's fault? We'll never know.
It was definitely Amazon's fault.
Pretty sure it was Nintendo.
Amazon and Andrea start with the same letter, though, so you know.
Oh, shit. Oh, my. I've never seen them in the same room at the same time.
New dates for you. Metal Wolf Chaos XD is coming to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC on August 6th. Electronic Arts and Respawn Entertainment announced the Apex Legends Preseason Invitational, a large-scale esports tournament featuring the largest collection of competitive talent ever for an Apex Legends event. Held September 13th through the 15th in Krakow, Poland. 80 teams, 3 players per team, from around the world will compete in a bracketed tournament for a prize pool of $500,000. Concrete Genie is coming out October 8th for $30, and Cool Greg will be on the Gamescast this week to give us the Cool Greg effect. He went down to PlayStation and played it. This is the one I know Kevin's been waiting for. Garfield Kart Furious Racing is coming. There's a new Garfield Kart Racer coming. The game will be available on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and Steam on November 5th in the United States and November 7th in Europe. Why? Yeah, if you can get me a Garfield Kart Furious Racing.
Like, I don't get like the joke.
I knew you'd be excited for it.
It's a shitty game. Kevin must like it.
I was just saying it because I thought it'd be funny. But now he likes lasagna. Do you not like lasagna?
Okay, I love lasagna.
Exactly.
You know that.
Do you like sleeping?
Yeah, no, sleeping's pretty cool.
Do you hate Mondays? Because it sounds like you're Garfield.
It's Thursday.
Sounds like you're Garfield.
Apparently there was an older Garfield Kart racer called Fast and furry?
This is a sequel. This is definitely a sequel, everybody. While Kevin tries to find this, this one came out of the blue. I got it off IGN. Zombieland Double Tap Road Trip is coming out on October 15th. That's coming to PC and console. IGN reports, Road Trip is a top-down twin-stick shooter that takes place after the events of the first movie. You and your friends can play as one of the four original heroes from the movie, Tallahassee, Columbus, Wichita. That's not how you spell Wichita, is it? In Little Rock. As well as unlockable characters from the sequel. Here.
Yes, that is how you spell Wichita.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, man. Crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
not
wow.
How you, not how you
words,
expect it.
Man, words.
Words. How,
you
know, this
I don't,
is,
I don't see, know which one it is.
Well, we're looking for Garfield Kart Furious Racing.
Okay, what did I say?
I don't
for?
Know if there's a new what trailer for the new one.
I'd like to apologize. You did search for that. I'm sorry. All right. It might be, this is a press release that dropped today that they were getting a new Garfield game. All right. I don't know what's going on. Yeah. Let me check. We're going to stop the show. Full stop here. And we're going to go into my things here. See it. Garfield.
Yeah, I was now, looking say, for it. I didn't see anything.
I want y'all to know, Garfield gets a bad rap. All right? A lot of people like to talk shit and act like they don't love Garfield back when they were growing up. Garfield and Friends, fucking the comic strip, him talking to John,
wasn't
right?
Wasn't he super mean to Odie all the time?
Yeah,
and he had like one cat that he like tortured in a sexual way?
Wait, what?
The little gray cat.
Normal. It wasn't sexual. He just mailed her to Abu Dhabi all the time.
There you go.
And I'll let you know, because of that, I knew Abu Dhabi was a place. Until Fast and Furious. All right, so Kevin, no, it turns out that there is no trailer in the release, but there are screenshots like this. So as you can see, there's Garfield in a cart.
Well, that looks a lot better. Can you actually send it to Assets? I want to look at it.
Sure, I'll send it to you. I'm going to forward you the email, all right?
Oh, that seems like a lot of stuff.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right, here's how I'm going to do that. I'm going to copy the link address to the Assets.
Oh, that's not going
to
work.
And now I'm going to put them into Assets for you. Is that you want them Assets or you want them to control?
Yeah, throw it Assets.
All right.
Oh, the Nanobiologist says, fun fact, the Garfield game comes out the same day as Death Stranding.
Death Stranding killer. We're sorry, Kojima. It's over. Now I just feel like we've hung out so long, we have to just read the press release. Today, Microids and Paws Inc. are announcing the upcoming release of the game Garfield Kart Furious Racing.
The game
will be available on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and Steam November 5th in the United States and November 7th in Europe. Fans of racing, cats, and lasagna, get ready. Garfield, the world-famous cat, is back to take on John, Odie, and their friends in this racing game where anything goes. Each of the available characters and carts, which can be customized with dozens of accessories, has its own characteristics and a unique driving style. Make a strategic choice to match your playing style so that you can cross the finish line in first place. Get off to the best start and master tough skids to save time and win the race. Crazy bonus items will spice up the race, including the pillow and the magic wand, to give you the edge over your competitors. Are you as lazy as Garfield? Take shortcuts and use the spring to overtake everyone else.
Oh, there's John.
Garfield Kart Furious Racing is perfect for playing with friends or family and features 16 iconic tracks from the world of Garfield.
Iconic tracks.
Including Pale Rock Lake and the Pastacosi Factory. Compete in online races with up to 8 players and split-screen races with up to 4 players. And Nintendo Switch players can also take the advantage of local wireless connections to connect up to 8 consoles. 3 game modes will be available to please even the toughest of drivers. Grand Prix, single race, and time trial. Oh my god. Go get him, Garfield. You know? Again,
is this worth breaking news? I think it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it's definitely not worth.
No, not Garfield. Not Garfield.
Oh, okay.
Andrea showed me something on hers.
I pulled up a story on my laptop and showed it to Greg to see.
Andrea?
Yes.
Read to me.
So I got this press release that just came in, and the headline is FaZe Clan brings in first female member, 13-year-old deaf Fortnite pro Ewok. So I got this story from TubeFilter, which is a digital media trade. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that outlet, but I've been following them for a really long time. They have all the news about the online channels. So it reads, gaming and entertainment collective FaZe Clan, which was founded in 2010, has finally brought in its first female member. Newly minted FaZe Ewok is a 13-year-old deaf Fortnite expert who this past weekend won $20,000 for charity in the Fortnite World Cup Celebrity Pro-Am tournament, where gaming pros team up with celebrity noobs to see which duo comes out on top. Ewok, whose real name is Soleil Wheeler, was paired with the singer and actor Jordan Fisher. Her FaZe Clan announcement came Saturday with the organization tweeting, "We usually surprise our new members, but tonight we got surprised with the best news. Join us in welcoming the first girl ever to the FaZe Clan, Ewok." So technically broke on Saturday, but I'm just hearing about it now. But this is awesome.
Yeah, no, totally rad. This is the you talk about it being on Saturday, right? I feel like for us, kind of funny, Games Daily or whatever. But also, I think our sect of the industry, esports, is a blind spot for the most part. Yeah. Right? That's a cool story coming out of it. Yesterday, we've talked about the Fortnite World Cup and the 16-year-old who won the $3 million. A lot of awesome stuff's going on there. Let alone we were running through, I don't know if you heard, the technical feat of what the Fortnite World Cup was and how they had it as a like awesome esport there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's great about this story is that they said, along with being FaZe Clan's first female gamer, which is important, there's not enough women representation in esports, Wheeler is also one of its youngest. She's just slightly older than a player who I should know how to say, but I don't
know how to
say his
world.
Name.
Just sound it out. Yeah, just what do you got? Take a shot. You see me out here. I struggle all the time. Just do it. It's freeing. Once you admit you're an idiot.
H1 Giski?
No, that was
H1 Giski!
There's definitely somebody who's listening that's like, she's so stupid, she doesn't even know how to say the guy's name. So if you know how to say this FaZe Clan member's name, please let me know. Who joined FaZe when he was just 12, though the organization, when it introduced him, claimed he was 13. Wheeler has celebrated her success by encouraging other disabled folks to pursue their ambitions. So in addition to being super young and representing for the ladies, she's also representing disabled gamers. So.
Triple threat.
Good for her.
Yeah, triple threat indeed.
Andrea, as you know, anything can happen on Kind of Funny Games Daily, so I'm bringing the nanobiologist into the conversation right now.
Now?
He wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, the Wall Street Journal reported that real estate owners in malls are going to start renting space to create new esports arcades, lounges, and stadiums. But do you think this will attract people? The stadium the Fortnite World Cup took place in was sold out all weekend, but is that just a one-off occurrence? I remember going to a computer cafe when I was little to play Counter-Strike Source with friends, but that was because the internet was not nearly as good as every computer was at this. Could that still succeed today when people have way faster internet and more people are inclined to watch streams on their own through Twitch or play games at their own houses or just chat over voice chat? Is this just a way to look at what used to happen and not think about what should happen in the future and dip into the growing gamers' pockets? Do you think people putting esports and arcade kind of places into malls is going to be a good thing, Andrew, Renee?
It really depends on the area. It's hard to make a universal like yes or no, because yeah. I think it's so case by case. You have to really feel out if there's enough people in that specific town or that location sure. to warrant, you know, doing like tune-in events. And I think that goes for any sport. It's not just esports, because mm-hmm. there are some communities that are like really ravenous about football, but they could care less about basketball, sure. right? And so I think it's the same for esports, particularly with the games. Like maybe this one community is all about FGC and they only want to show up for Evo, or they only want to show up for Dota, but they don't really care about the Fortnite World Cup, right?
Yeah.
So
there's something there. I think it's going to be hard to nail, and you'll need to be a smarter person than you or I, but you figure people love getting together to talk about games and celebrate games. Look at PAX, look at any of the shows, right? So if you can take a space and have whatever every night be one night's fighting games or is just Street Fighter, right? The other night is Fortnite, blah, blah, blah. And then you have basically bowling leagues of people who are coming in to play them, right? And then it is a gathering spot and a hub spot of people who want to be around games to do it. Yeah, you're going to stay home most of the night, but then you get into that tradition with your friends who are also like, all right, cool, we want to be the best Fortnite players on the block in the county. We're going to go over to this place. We're going to hang out every Friday night, and we're going to play together and do that tournament and try to make it happen.
I did that when I lived in LA.
Yeah, for Guitar Hero. Right?
Yeah, it was like every Tuesday night, we'd go to Big Wang's in Hollywood.
Big Wang's.
We'd have wings and beer, and we would play Guitar Hero. And most weeks, I won.
But I mean, and like, that was fun. And that's the
way. Yeah, I loved it.
And there's so many, I know for a fact, being as, you know, lucky as we are to travel as much, I definitely run into bar kids that are doing the same things. You run, like, the Killer Queen community, right, is insanely awesome and has a great thing going. There's a way to do that and merge it with esports where it is, we're doing the local thing where you're here, and then we are doing watch parties, and there are others. It's just you need to have your finger on that pulse in such a specific way that, like you're saying, it's not a turnkey thing. It can't be I don't think you can do a chain restaurant kind of thing that makes sense and figure it all out. But somebody's going to figure it out, and then it's going to become a chain.
Yeah.
Like, if you could, like, that'd be really cool. Can you imagine two chains competing against each other in, like, a tournament? Or even if you have more than that, like, a bunch of squads in some game competing against each other where it's like a nationwide thing. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it could also be a really fun idea if you think about a company potentially pivoting to that, like a GameStop, for example.
Yep.
How they clearly have been struggling with their retail merchandising side of their business. And even though ThinkGeek has certainly helped out along the way, it's not going to be enough as we go, you know, closer and closer into this digital streaming future. You know, wouldn't it be awesome if they were able to use some of the connections and the deep, you know, ties they have within the video game world to facilitate something like that?
And that could be possible, right? That's what they talk about. They like when we did the report here of how they're trying to reimagine their stores with that architecture firm to do, like, they're talking about a community infrastructure. They're talking about trying to give you a reason to come have this water cooler experience. And that's the other thing too, of like, I think as adults, it's so easy to be like, yeah, you go to the bar for trivia night, right? Like, getting kids into a place where it can't be a drinking thing, right? So it has to be this arcade thing. But how do you get them into also spending
money?
Why can't
it be a drinking thing?
Because they're kids.
Why does it have to be for kids?
They're kids.
Why can't it be for us, Greg?
Kids love fucking Fortnite. They got those sticky fingers.
Well, have the kids come in the afternoon, and then at 9 o'clock, you kick them to the curb, and then we kids come in.
I feel like the problem with all these places is like the fact that like you need an expensive piece of hardware to run whatever it is, right? Whether it's like a console game or a PC game,
sure,
you're gonna need a computer or something, and it's like those are expensive, and then if you spill something on them, they break.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's real tricky.
Well, there are some people doing that, like Nirvana that Chrissy Pitchford runs.
Oh, Nirvana, right? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's a bar and restaurant that has consoles, and people can play video games while they're there, and like the setup that she has there is fantastic. Yeah. If you guys are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and you've never been, I highly recommend checking it out. The Cocktail List.
Doesn't Coral Sword
excellent?
Also?
Coral Sword does it, but they're like coffee, right? Or they do drinks too.
Yeah, they do coffee, pizzas, maybe.
Sure. I've been to one in Montreal. I just slacked Jen about it. Her friend runs it. Same idea. You know, you turn in your ID or whatever, and you get the controllers and whatever you want to play over there. Like, people are doing it for sure, and it's awesome. It's just, I think even that is more the novelty of it's a bar that you can play at, right? Not Nerdvon. I haven't been there. I couldn't talk to it.
It just requires so much space and so many.
It does, yeah.
So many consoles or PCs or whatever it is that you're running. Like, if you've got 30 people there, you either have 30 machines or you have 10 machines and 20 people just standing around watching.
Yeah.
Which is possible. It's just, like, I don't know. That infrastructure seems really, really big.
You know what you do? You do a bar, and it's just a Nintendo Switch bar, but all you do is every table has the dock there. And people bring their Switches, plop them in, play on the TV there. That's $1 million
idea. That's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea.
Sell some Tato skins, some wings. You're all set. Yeah.
Tato skins.
Who doesn't love a good Tato skin?
Dude, now I want potato skins.
Yeah, right?
I want wings, and I want wings specifically from that one pizza place.
Oh, Square Pie Guys.
Yeah, that's the one.
All right, really good wings.
Yeah.
We're going to see Fast and Furious. We can figure that out.
I'm sure we can.
Oh, wait. We talked about this already.
Thursday.
I'm going to be gone.
Yeah, lame.
It's my birthday, by the way.
What?
Thursday.
No, man. Yeah. What? Happy birthday.
Thanks. I'm turning 22.
26 years young.
Or 26. Both of those numbers work.
It's time for deals of the day. Xbox Live Games with Gold have been announced. The first half of August is Gears of War 4 and Torchlight. Second half is going to be Forza Motorsport 6 and Castlevania Lords of Shadow.
Nailed it.
It's time for reader mail, but before I get into that, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors. We're going to start with Third Love. If you didn't know, all the kind of honeys are wearing Third Love bras. They love them. They're great. You can return them real easy. You take the Fit Finder quiz. It's great. What is Third Love? Well, Third Love is a bra company that uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz to design bras with breast size and shape in mind for the perfect fit and premium feel. Third Love offers more than 70 sizes, including their signature half cup sizes. You can skip the trip, find your fit with Third Love's online Fit Finder, order, and try it at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. You answer a few simple questions and find the perfect fit in 60 seconds. Over 12 million women have taken the quiz to date, and it's actually fun. It takes less than a minute to complete. The best part, of course, you don't have to go to any weird bra place and have to talk to them.
You're super just, awkward, Greg. Nobody likes that.
Yeah? I don't know. I don't know anything about it, obviously. But I can't imagine that's fun.
But imagine you had to go to a dressing room and someone was going to put measuring tape around your junk.
No, I know. I don't like that.
You'd be like, no, get out of there.
Kevin does it all the time to me. And I'm like, why? And he's like, just because. It's got a 100% fit guarantee. Every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. And if you don't love it, return it. And Third Love, wash it and donate it to a woman in need. Third Love's team of expert fit stylists are dedicated to helping you find the perfect fit. Fit stylists are available every day via text, chat, or phone calls. Returns and exchanges are free and easy. This is hands down the most comfortable bra you'll ever own. There's the straps won't slip and the tags won't itch because they're tagless. There are no tags. They are lightweight, super thin memory foam cups that mold to your shape and are proprietary to Third Love. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/games now. Find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/games for 15% off today. Next up is Upstart. Most of us have found out the hard way that getting into debt is easy. Getting out is hard, especially if your FICO score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score and offers a smarter interest rate based on your history and all that jazz to pay off your high interest credit card debt. You've heard me talk about it before. I took out a loan a long time ago. It was a bad interest rate that did not take into account how good of a person I was. Upstart.com does that. Upstart goes beyond the traditional FICO score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter interest rate. Upstart believes you're more than just a credit score. They believe in you and they understand that. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in a few minutes without affecting your credit score. And the best part is that once your loan is approved, most people get their funds the very next business day. The next day! Over 200,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards, student loans, and fund their weddings, or to make a large purchase. Free yourself from the burden of high-interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/KFGames to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes and won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/KFGames. Now it's time for reader mail. Before then, breaking news. I asked Jen what's the name of the place, the gamer bar her friend was running up in Montreal. She responds, it's dead. It got flooded and all the electronics got fried.
Oh my God.
Oh no. Isn't that what insurance is for though?
But in Canada, they operate on a maple syrup system. Nobody understands what's going on up there.
Gosh, darn it.
They probably have a lot of maple syrup.
The prime minister is a moose. You know what I mean? You know what they're going to do? It's like Northern Exposure. I'm an old person. If you remember that show, you are too. Let's start. With kale.
Like the food?
No, with a C. But that's cool, right? His parents loved kale so much they named him Kale.
No, that's super lame.
It's Kale Dolphin Corn, so either he's from the future. Man. He's either from the future or just that's his pen name. What's good, Greg and Andrea? Someone recently out of high school, I've come to the realization that, no more time for video games. I used to spend any time I wasn't with my friends and free to play video games, but now I have a full-time job and more responsibilities than ever. I've noticed that I haven't been gaming as much, unless it's Ultimate Alliance 3, all praise of the Switch. My question is, how do you all find the time in your busy schedules to game, and when did you realize you were playing games less?
I mean, I realized it like every day.
Starting the stupid business, not having any time to do anything.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, like there's obviously being, you know, our own bosses has its benefits, but the downside is like you never really stop working on the business. And so that kind of permeates itself across your life all the time. And also we continually talk about the struggle of having to play things for our content versus playing the things that we would just want to play on our own. And that has been particularly difficult for me because I really like investing in some of the live service games that I've enjoyed over the last couple of years, but I can't just play Destiny 2 all the time, you know, like, and that's troublesome because I want to just be playing Destiny a lot of the time. And I think that they've really done a great job of making that game more appealing over the last 6 to 9 months. But there's other games to play. And it's like, it sounds like a really terrible thing to complain about. And for the record, not complaining about my job. Sure. I love my job. I work really hard at it and I am grateful for it every day. But since you asked, I think it's just about balancing, you know, the games that we need to play for work and the games that we want to play for fun.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. You take it in a different way than I do a lot of times, where I think granted, it might be different companies and how you see your role at What's Good or a Gamescast contributor versus what I do at Kind of Funny, where I'm not afraid as much to get anchored into something for longer, but even knowing that what long for me is a month, you know, of me playing The Division pretty hardcore and not being able to switch off. Not to mention that when we started Kind of Funny, it was just the idea that we no longer had to play everything. You can play what you want to play. And so it always is that thing of what am I in the mood for? I'm trying to get going on Fire Emblem. Started it on Sunday, but it was that thing where I knew when I was starting it to Kale's question, I didn't have that much time. And I'm like, this isn't the right way to do it, but I'm going to try to do it. And I liked what I saw, but it's the same thing where I was talking about a little bit with Fallout, where I think I put in all of 30, 40 minutes, enough to be like, okay, I am interested in this. So when I turn it back on and have 3 hours to play, I'm just going to restart and go from the beginning and get back into it.
Yeah.
So I know the characters. To the question of like, when did you realize we had less time with games? Like, yeah, it's comes with responsibility, right? Yeah, I think it was when I started getting promoted at IGN, when I was noticing I wasn't reviewing games at my desk anymore, mm-hmm. and I was actually having to do it all at home or on the weekends or whatever. Nowadays, like, to fit it into the schedule, right, it's a balancing act, as I know you're well aware of, being on camera and talking about games. And we're lucky enough that I think we get to talk about the industry as a whole based on the, you know, our expertise or whatever, or right. history, rather than like how Easy Allies reviews games, right? And they're like making that kind of stuff day in, day out. So it's talking about the industry and movements and trends and things we see there, which is helpful. But then it is going home and spending time with John for you, Jen for me. And then, you know, for me, it's often Jen will be like, if there's nothing she wants to watch or nowhere we want to go that night, it's like, all right, you can play games right now if you want. Otherwise, I'll usually do stuff with Jen until she goes to bed and then try to play at night. Or like, I'll put it on calendars too of like, this weekend I need to play this. And like, Kevin and I are doing the VR show right now, and I told her last night when we started, we were like, she's like, you want to play something now? I'm like, I really want to marathon The Boys with you, and that means that tomorrow I'm gonna have to put on a VR headset and sit next to you and ignore you. She's like, that's fine, yeah. whatever, no big deal. It's about communication and making sure it happens that way.
Absolutely. I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I think with your relationships with the people in your life, whether they're your partner or your family, your friends, like, if you don't communicate to them, you know, your desire to play games, then that can lead to conflicts with people. 100%. And I think that there's the balance too, if you don't have somebody in your immediate life who lives with you, for example, to make sure that you're blocking off time to go out and do things with your friends and not get too sucked in to video games and to online spaces, though there are communities to be had in those spaces as well. I really kind of, it bothers me when I see video game players portrayed as these reclusive people all the time. And it's like, maybe they're like super involved with the guild that they play with, and they have all of these friends they play with online. I think there's nothing wrong with creating, you know, these virtual friendships with people as well. But I think, again, it just comes down to that word balance. And with our jobs in particular, throughout the year, there are pockets of time when we have a lot more time to play, and then there are pockets of time where we have absolutely no time to play.
Yeah.
And so kind it's of feast or ebbs famine, and flows.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Diatribe. I went to this weird dinner. Right. We talked about it on the Kind of Funny podcast, right? That I got invited to, and you didn't reveal who you were, kind of thing, till you sat down to dinner.
So weird.
Then afterwards, there was like speeches. It doesn't matter. I was talking to this guy at the mingling part of the event, though, right? And it was an old man, and he's a composer. He's won a bunch of Oscars. And we were talking about what I do in video games. He's like, and I'm like, what? And I'm like, you don't like video games? And he was like, it's just that they're so isolating. And I was like, well, no, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, explaining how they aren't in like the communities and online. And he was just hung up on people not being in the same place.
Right. Not physically in the same room.
And I was like, I understand what you're saying, but like, what a small box you're putting all this into, because I'm more connected with people through games than I would be if I wasn't, right? Like, me being in a room with a bunch of people watching a movie in a theater doesn't mean I'm connecting to them even though I'm there. You
exactly.
know?
That's a perfect example.
And then I stabbed him. Ray Briggs 2 gets the final question of the day from patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, what's good, Greg and Andrew? I am an old man gamer. I am 40, or at least will be in 4 days, and I feel like every news story I hear is about streaming, subscription services, free-to-play, and shared world games. I'm a couch gamer that almost never travels. My Switch never leaves the dock unless my daughters have it. And sometimes I even get up to change the discs in my PlayStation 4. Now that's the oldest thing you fucking said right there. I know I'm a Neanderthal, and at times I feel like the way I play games is under attack. I'm sure I will be okay in the next gen, but I am never going to stop gaming, and I worry that in the next gen, everyone is going to want $10 to $15 monthly to have access to the library of games when I really just want to purchase just the one. Do I need you to talk me off the ledge and tell me everything is going to be okay, or do you think we are all headed to the future of heavy laden with multiple subscription packages? Ray, I think people are going to be happy to take your $60 all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's going to be games like Destiny and Division that are online, and you need to be connected to the internet to do all that stuff. But I don't see us moving to a place anytime soon in this generation or next generation or the next generation where it's like, cool, the only way to get your games is a subscription service.
No, 100% agree. I think the worry about a digital future, though, isn't unfounded. It happens quite regularly that someone like Apple will remove something from your library that you've paid for. Mm. And that's why I also still prefer physical media, because I feel like, oh, I've spent my $60 on this game. I have it, and it's always going to be there for me on my shelf.
Sure.
And it's tough because I'm trying to balance like buying digital and buying physical now because of the portability of so many of the systems that I'm using. Because if I take my PS4 on the road with me,
you don't want to bring 15
I don't want to bring a bunch of discs with me, right? No. And then because of the way the licensing works, in order for me to download it and have it on the console, like I can't play it unless the disc is inserted, or I have to buy a second license because there's no way for them to
talk to
like,
each other.
Yeah, and it's like that part is super frustrating. So I feel your pain, Ray, but I don't think that you're gonna have subscription packages because, as Greg mentioned, game companies want to continue making money. And as long as the major publishers who really have the most amount of influence in these subscription packages can sell individual units, they're never gonna bundle their games.
Exactly. Yeah. You're gonna be able to buy your games. Don't worry. They're gonna want your $60 or your $100 for whatever deluxe edition with the weird board game.
Yeah.
They're gonna want it. Don't worry, Ray, it's going to be okay. Get off the ledge. But stop buying discs. Just buy everything digital. What do you care?
Yeah, it would be. I think it would be nice. I don't know if this is possible, but I have to imagine it is. That they could watermark each of the discs, right? This digital watermark. Don't they do that for Academy Award screeners? I thought they did.
Yeah, where it has like somebody's name on it or whatever.
Right, so like you could, I mean, not with the actual like lower thirds, but like a fake watermark so they can trace it back to somebody, right?
Okay.
So if there was some kind of a watermark on the disc, but then you got a digital code, so that way you can have the disc, but then you can also play it without the disc inside the console. But then the licenses match.
Yeah,
and then
they're
tied to that single unique identifier. But that technology has to exist.
You want the
right?
identifier so they can go after the person who bought that disc or whatever?
No, so the idea is the reason why that doesn't exist now, right, is mm-hmm. because of the aftermarket, right? The resale market.
I'm gonna sell you
and
used
how
games, yeah.
devs and publishers are like, we don't like that, we don't get a cut of GameStop's used game sales, right?
Yeah.
So that's why that is the way it is. But what if like we could make it so that we could, but so you could share it with your friends, but they just couldn't resell it.
Hmm. Seems complicated.
Right? Like they could play it, but they couldn't install it on another system.
I hear you. Just buy your games digital. Just get over it. Everybody get
just
over
get
it.
Over it,
just
he says.
Get over
just
it.
Just get over
everybody.
It.
Join us in the future, Ray. Kevin and I are over here.
But
we have
digital ownership
flying cars, and it's great. Time to squad up. Oh, wait. Nobody wrote in with a new squad up today, so there's no squad up. So let's go to You're Wrong. This is where people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. Everybody's ranting and raving about the balloon DLC for Mario. We already talked about that.
Who cares?
Get off. Exactly. God. Thank you. Lord of Pwn says, note, Borderlands 3 can be played offline. It's also 6 weeks and a few days from launch. So I guess even if the servers were down, we could play locally on one system, Kevin. That'd be happy for you, right?
That'd be happy for me, yeah.
Yeah. more GameStop hate because they canceled some Kingdom Hearts stuff. Fendi says, new dates for you. Crash Team Racing Nitro Refuels next Grand Prix / season is starting August 2nd through the 25th and is called Back End Time. So there you go. Ill Grill Chill says, Captain Toad Treasure Tracker now has Labo VR support for 4 levels for free. Spencer says, heads up regarding Out Now. Corpse Killer is also out on PS4 everywhere besides the US today. The FMV light gun shooter comes to the US on PlayStation 4 next week, August 5th. If you are in the mood for a hell of an odd game trailer, look it up. Ah, we're late now. Nanobiologist says, I assume H1 Gski is pronounced High Sky 1.
That looks right.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
That lead speak, yo.
Alex Russ Zero Syndicate says, Andrea made mention of it, but just to clarify, Destiny 2 Solstice of Heroes begins today. Exciting.
Yes. The new Solstice armor set is so cool looking.
Dirt. All right, I'm good with that. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily for whatever today is. The 30th, I believe, of July. July's
Tuesday,
almost
July
over.
30th.
Can you believe it? Holy crap. Tomorrow will be a Widow Wednesday. Thursday will be an Andrea Thursday on her birthday. Friday, it'll be me and Tim. Remember, the Gamescast is Thursday, August 1st, 2 p.m., patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. The same place that you can submit all your questions, comments, concerns, and everything under the video game sun for this show each and every weekday. Video game news. You know how it is. Right, Kev?
Yep.
All right, great. Andrea, thank you for joining me today.
You're welcome.
As always, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.